Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's cut it down to four teams.
Silver on the perimeter, fires and hits. What a big shot.
This is a Finals Week edition of AJ and Dusty.
Brought to you by Claussen Heating and Air Conditioning. Their experts are focused on one thing, your comfort. Schedule your free estimate at ClaussenHeating.com. It's hard to stop a train.
Late in the clock here for Gonzaga. Drew Timmy off the bounce, off the window. He does it all.
AJ and Dusty on 1080.
This will make headlines. Oregon State is going to the Sweet 16.
The Fan.
All right, hour number two, AJ and Dusty on the Fan with AJ McCord and myself, and then our very humble producer, Will Darkins. He's very humble.
Uh-huh.
Very humble. We just got to make sure everybody knows that.
I know.
For when he gets the Giannis news right, just remember, he's humble.
Just remember.
Yep. Mark Emmert, you know him. He's the cartel ringleader. You may know it as the NCAA president. But he met with Isaiah Livers, Jordan Bohannon, and Geo Baker today. Those are three basketball players from Michigan, Iowa, and Rutgers, respectively. And he met with them about name, image, and likeness, what the NCAA can do for student athletes, and what it could mean moving forward. And out of this meeting came a lot in a very short meeting, because those three student athletes were very open and very honest about everything that was discussed, and both, you know, praising Mark Emmert for wanting to work with them. Hold on, rewind. Seemingly acting like he wants to work with them, but then also criticizing him on several things that had to do with not just name, image, and likeness, but equity across the NCAA.
And I think it's interesting that we know so much about this meeting already. I didn't think about this till you just brought it up. But I think the athletes are realizing the more open they are about their cause, the more likely things are going to get happen. Because if we've learned nothing about the NCAA, it's that they won't do what's right and fair unless you force them to.
Yes.
So you talk about name, image, and likeness. They're like, oh, well, actually, Congress, you passed that. They talk about Title IX. They needed that to begin with for their member schools because they weren't treating all sports equally, which is not right, given that they hang their hat on amateurism. And it wasn't until Title IX that they forced the schools to do it, but they're still not required to follow Title IX as the NCAA.
Yeah.
You look at all the inequities in March Madness for the men's tournament versus the women's tournament. None of that was going to change until people knew about it. And so I think the players are being really wise and playing their cards the right way by first taking this movement to social media and doing the hashtag not NCAA property. And then the players said, hey, I would like to have the female counterparts involved. And Mark Emmert was like, nah, not today, but I will later.
Well, he said, because part of the meeting was those three young men as part of a larger group asked for a meeting. We knew about this last week, right? When Mark Emmert said, yo, I'm going to meet with the hashtag not my property. Was that NCAA? Not NCAA property.
Yep.
And those three were from the large group of people that were using that hashtag. those three were the ones that reached out and said, hey, can we meet with you? Well, they said, well, we have some, you know, female student athletes that want to get on board. And he's like, nope, you three asked. I will only meet with you three. Weird move. Because like Mark Emmert should know that, like, hey, man, it's not a conversation that's going to go away. You should probably be opening and willing to talk with all of it, because now he's going to have like 800 meetings with not NCAA property folks around there.
And as we talk about equity, what is the harm? Why would you not have everyone in the same room together? If we know anything, it's that more things get done, the less meetings you have to have.
And
that's exactly why there were not more people in the meeting, because the more and more people you have, the more overwhelming the point will be made, at which he will probably not be able to answer anything effectively. I mean, the NCAA knows whatever logic they're running with right now, it's bad faith. It's bad, and it doesn't check out anywhere. And after the whole Supreme Court thing that happened yesterday, I think he knows the walls are closing in, and having three people is enough. Having 10 would be like, I don't know how to answer any of these questions, and I can't.
Well, he doesn't
anyways.
Sounds
like a really good leader.
I agree.
Sounds
he
like
sucks.
A really good leader to not be able to handle talking to the people you're leading.
I'm tracking with
qualities
you.
Of a great leader.
Here's the problem with Mark Emmert, though. The people he has bosses, and I think like people don't understand this. Like, just like the owners of the NFL and NBA and Major League Baseball are the bosses of the commissioners of those sports, university presidents are the bosses of Mark Emmert, and that is something that it's like. He doesn't have answers because it's kind of always just like passing the buck back and forth, right? The NCAA, and he told them this in their meeting today, is that like, hey, whoa. NCAA doesn't have to be under title. We don't have to adhere to Title IX.
Which is why I said they won't do anything until they're legally forced to.
Yeah, and because he doesn't. And then, but the universities go, whoa. Hey, we are in compliance at our universities. We can't control it. Well, yeah, you can. You can control what the NCAA does. You're his bosses.
But they don't even know what's happening. I read somewhere that there were 12 staff members assigned to all of the details of the men's tournament and only 6 to the women's.
Seems like a problem. Seems like a problem. But this is where we go into the nuts and bolts of what they wanted to ask for, which was name, image, and likeness to be approved for the 2021-2022 school year. And Mark Emmert, of course, was non-committal on anything regarding name, image, and likeness, as he probably should be. I understand that part of it on his end, because his hand is going to be forced anyways. Like you just said, they're not going to be forced to do anything until they legally have to, which is why name, image, and likeness, they've already gone to this point. And they're fighting, and they've hired lobbyists for years, and they're losing that. But and this is why the athletes being so outspoken, getting this to the mainstream. The NCAA has been hiring lobbyists to lobby on their behalf in Washington for decades. Well, they're even losing that fight now with politicians who it does. Like, if there's one thing that it seems politicians can agree on in Washington, it is like what the NCAA is doing to student athletes is not right or fair.
No. And that's what we talked about yesterday. The NCAA had a chance to make the call, to be proactive and say, okay, we see how this is turning. We see that players are now, I mean, the development of social media completely changed the game, because mm-hmm. now fans can connect with their favorite players from their universities directly. You don't need to go through the NCAA anymore. You don't need to go through mainstream media anymore. You can connect exactly with them and find out what they're doing Thursday afternoon at 1:11 because they're tweeting about it, because they're posting on their Instagram story. That changed the game. And you should have immediately started to realize, as soon as social media happens, there becomes ad revenue involved. Well, when you are a brand on social media, you make money.
Mm-hmm.
These athletes are brands on social media. So Mark Emmert and the NCAA had a chance decades ago at this point, maybe a decade ago, to say, oh, we realize this is where it's going. We are going to be proactive and decide what we want the rules to be. Instead, they kicked the can down the road again and again and again, and now they're fighting with Congress because they believe they should have a hand in saying, mm-hmm. oh, well, these are the rules and these are what the rules should be. No, you had that chance. You had years to decide what you wanted the rules to be. And now that you're being forced into making these changes, you don't get a say.
Yep.
You don't get a say.
But there is arguments that the NCAA is using that have been effective for years as well. And now we're starting to see, because of the information that is available and everything that it has come to light over the last handful of years with social media and that instant availability and instant marketability too, that some of the arguments the NCAA has leaned on are empty now. And that has to do with which athletes could cash in the most in college sports. The answer to that question of which ones would cash in the most, it might surprise you when you think about valuations. We'll talk about that next. AJ and Dusty on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, name, image, and likeness continuing to move forward. The athletes, like one of the NCAA's big arguments is that, hey, the only people that are going to benefit from this is football and men's basketball athletes. Those are the only ones. Those are the revenue generators. That's where we've hitched our wagon to for years. That's where the money's at. Well, as social media has exploded, we are finding that that's not really the case. These things called influencers get paid for being active on social media. And with the growth of social media and how many young people are on it, it's actually pretty staggering. If you look at the valuations from independent companies that have looked into social media followings, which athletes actually would be the ones making the big bucks?
So Axios did an article on this week because they're doing, obviously, this topic of conversation. So they looked at the men and women's Elite Eight teams. Eight of the 10 most followed player from the Elite Eight teams across men's and women's. Eight of the top 10 most followed players are women. Paige Beckers, most followed woman player in the Elite Eight round. Haley Van Lith from Louisville. Second most. Then you have Jalen Suggs of Gonzaga.
Pretty good.
Jaden Owens. She's a Baylor Bear. Zia Cook, South Carolina. Cameron Brink. We know her. Stanford, mm-hmm. Sixth most. Adrian Nunez from Michigan. And then you have Anna Wilson of Stanford, also of the same Wilsons as Russell. And yeah, so 8 of the top 10 most followed Elite Eight athletes are the women, which women's basketball, we've heard time and time again, is a non-revenue generating sport.
Now, that is pretty interesting. But then also looking at outside of that, if you go to, you know, like in years past, Athletic Director U is a website. And they had a really big write-up based on what the website Influencer came up with, which is evaluation of the most valuable college athletes. Now, this isn't from this year. This is from a couple of years ago. But this is the most valuable in any sport across the board.
Any university.
Any university, any sport. Number one, and I believe this is 2 years ago, was Cole Anthony from North Carolina, men's basketball player. His endorsement potential, according to Influencer, based on his social media, was $476,000. Then number two was Madison Kosian. Did I say that right?
I think so.
She's a UCLA gymnast. Third, basketball player Cassius Stanley from Duke. Fourth, Trevor Lawrence. Football. That's our first football player. It's fourth, by the way. Fifth was Erica Fontaine, a gymnast from West Virginia. So of the top five, two were men's basketball, two were gymnastics, and one was football. One of the most like profitable influencers would have been. And look at, you're looking at like, they're saying the value of number five, Erica Fontaine's, just her social media, her endorsement potential was $342,000.
Can you imagine the difference that that makes to somebody? You think about how often does the NCAA preach, oh, we're going to help you go pro in things that aren't athletics because you're getting a free education here. Okay, well, $342,000 gives Erica, who, if you're competing in college gymnastics, you're not competing in the Olympics. So she's out. There's no pro level for gymnastics after college. So Erica now has $342,000 that she's made at the height of her athletic ability, past the height of her athletic ability, one could argue, because college is old for gymnastics, to decide what she wants to do with the rest of her life. To figure out, do I want to go back and get a master's? I'm out of eligibility. Can't get a scholarship. So these are the things that you shake your head at how that's not an argument.
Well, and also I think what's important to point out too with influencers and where a lot of them get most of the revenue from what they do, right? So an influencer is anybody that could be defined as hawking products on any type of channel. The most popular one is Instagram. And the typical...
Or TikTok.
Or TikTok. TikTok's now started to do it because people have figured out that you don't have to just have the short, quick videos. You can just build on them. But with Instagram, most of the influencers that you do see on there are not people you generally want your kids to be looking up to in order to take advice on a product. Most influencers, when they are advertising things, it skews either towards people that are in the 35 to 65 demographic, more cutting off in the mid 40s because they're doing products such as either skincare, yard supplies, stuff like that. But then there's also the other side of it, which is kids, which is I'm going to try to hawk this t-shirt to you or these sneakers or whatever. I would much rather have people like Haley Cruz talking about personal, you know, connection to a brand and why she believes in it. Than some woman who sits in her house all day doing videos who literally hasn't done much with her life, or some guy who is on the same side of that. It's like, you don't really have a talent other than the fact that you are just producing video after video after video of stuff.
Or the kid that opens up presents on YouTube, the toy kid.
Yes.
That's a whole, a whole other deal. So that's
like,
crazy.
So it's like, I'd rather have college athletes speaking from their own experience and how they were able to work hard to get to that point. And then, you know, I understand that they're hawking stuff for money and that's fine, but at least there's something to it.
Well, there's also more to this in that, you know, they, in that conversation of, hey, only football and basketball are going to make money. So on this list that I was looking at for the most influential, there were only three football players, And they were Trevor Lawrence, Jake Fromm, and Justin Fields. Those were the three football players.
And they have 25 on this list, right?
Yep. This is of the top 25. Three football players, five men's basketball players. Okay. Then they had one track and field athlete and a baseball player. There are two baseball players. So that puts you up to 11 men, which means 14 were female. Five gymnasts, two women's basketball players, three softball players, two volleyball players, a women's tennis athlete, and a track and field athlete. Now, here is the NCAA's biggest thing is that it's like, well, you know, they're just, it's professionalism of sports. And I go to that, I go, all right, no, because if you're looking at this, it's not because of the professionalism of softball or gymnastics or women's basketball. It's that they have a brand that is elsewhere. Like the very first, the gal from Aquinas.
Mm-hmm.
The very first athlete to have name, image, and likeness is an NAIA athlete out of Aquinas in, was it Iowa, right?
I think it's Iowa.
And hers isn't about sports at all.
Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Michigan, okay.
Grand
Rapids, Michigan. And hers isn't even about athletics at all.
No, hers is about her DIY stuff. That's, she has, at the time of this article, which came out in January, she had nearly 49,000 followers on Instagram, 5,000 on YouTube, 2.7 million on TikTok, and she assembled that from creating do-it-yourself project videos. So for her, her money is coming from, oh, DeWalt, oh, Ryobi, oh, all these brands, these power tools and woodworking and all that stuff. That's who wants to pay her to sponsor their product. It has nothing to do with athletics.
And I think that there's, like, I understand the idea that Trevor Lawrence would obviously, because of his football prowess, would be a person that would get endorsements. I don't see the problem with that. As long as the school is not the one paying it. It is instances like, what's her name, Chloe Mitchell,
mm-hmm.
or Haley Cruz, who became a TikTok and Instagram sensation before she was an athlete in college, or the kicker from Central Florida. Remember this story from a few years ago? He had a successful YouTube channel where it's just like, he did call it like the life in the day of me. And it wasn't like a college athlete thing, but guess what? He did one on being a college athlete and that was it. Like, he couldn't monetize his YouTube channel. It hadn't, like, it wasn't because, like, nobody cares that he's a kicker, mm-hmm. you know? And when I look at this list of the top 25, they're from, everybody's like, well, you know, Alabama and North Carolina and Duke are going to be the only programs that succeed. Cleveland State has a women's tennis player on here. Northwestern has a volleyball player. There's a female track athlete from Oklahoma State. Like,
Chloe Mitchell goes to Aquinas College.
Right, right, right. It's
in
NAIA
Grand Rapids,
school.
Michigan.
And
the Fighting Dolphins.
And this is where I go to, that is where it needs to change, because mm-hmm. it's not this doomsday scenario that everybody says it's going to be, and it's not going to be the wild, wild west. It is the same opportunities. Like, the NCAA rulebook says that you cannot give a student athlete an extra benefit that is not available to any other athlete, right? Well, you're restricting them from doing things that any other student can do. And it's most of the time, it has nothing to do with their sport in these instances.
Nope. I agree with you on every point, because I don't understand how you cannot just say, get out of the way, NCAA. You had your moment to figure out how you wanted this to work for you. It's passed. Have all the meetings you want. But at the end of the day, the message to these kids should be, hey, we missed the boat. We'll do whatever the federal government decides we have to do. Best of luck.
Yeah.
AJ, could you conceivably make a YouTube channel and make it about whatever, surfing or whatever other interests you have? And then Coin would be like, that's cool. And like, make money off it.
I don't know. Actually, because I think as a talent.
Yeah. Well, but hold on. She also signed a contract with her employer and gets paid money by them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a part of my contract. Whereas student athletes don't have any sort of, not making money.
Yeah. Well, aren't they getting an education?
Oh,
that's right.
Yes. Yeah, sorry.
Well. Hey, you know what? Also, I'm just trying to put the other perspective out there.
Well, that's because like the music student can go and they can make music, sell an album.
They're not going to make any money.
Well, right. But they can go DJ on the weekends. Yeah. They can go be a tutor. Another person texting in says another benefit is learning financial responsibility before they go pro. Yep.
Here's the thing, though. It's this devil's advocate. They wouldn't have the exposure without the NCAA.
Inaccurate. We just talked about Chloe Mitchell, who is A, NAIA, and B, doing it for her DIY.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Well, I don't even know.
I'm a tennis player in Grand Rapids?
No. It's a Cleveland State. Her name is Clara Marcella.
Okay, I don't think the NCAA has given her exposure.
She's a women's tennis player at Cleveland State. I've never heard of this person, but she has the ability to make $53,000 a year, according to Influencer, based on her social media following.
Yep.
And even if, like, I know it's going to come as like, oh, this is because she's hot. Well, who cares? Like, even if she is, like, guess what? The Kardashians made $1 billion off of being hot at the beginning and people flocking to them. And then guess what? They made an empire out of it. Mm. A legit empire out of it.
Empire.
Because they made smart and savvy business moves.
Well, I really hope we don't get any texts like that, because if that's your reasoning.
Well, you've seen it a lot, though. I mean, well, you know, yeah, that's what comes
but
in.
But I think that's as archaic as saying that women's sports are not as good as men's sports. It's not like women can be influencers on social media for things far outside of their looks.
For sure.
And so to say that, oh, it's only because of her looks that she has X number of followers. No, I have no idea. I do not follow on social media
Clara Marcella.
Nope. I don't follow her. So I have no idea what she does.
I don't either.
But I spent a good amount of time on Chloe Mitchell's Instagram last night learning about her DIY stuff.
There you go. And what's her name? Oh my gosh, Haley Cruz
spent a lot of time on her TikTok last night because, oh yeah, she has 691,000 followers on TikTok.
And most of them are dancing yeah, and doing the comedy
funny
type
bits.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yep.
You're doing bits.
Yeah. You're doing bits and you're getting paid for it. And so I think, again, it doesn't really matter. It does not matter why people
Agreed.
Have the followers they are.
Agreed.
They should be able to make money off of it.
Booyah. And guess what? Mark Emmert, NCAA, it's coming.
Get out the way.
Because states are going to be doing it on their own. And you want to talk about inequity and imbalance when Florida can do it, but, you know, I don't know, Nevada can't, for instance. I don't know what Nevada's name, image, and likeness is. But when you have states like, what if California could and Oregon couldn't? Well, you want to talk about inequity there, and that is where you would need to make a change in a wide scale change.
But again, go where you're going to go without being dragged there, and you have a say in these decisions.
503-250-1080, some of that feedback. Plus, coming up, should the Ducks be worried about losing Dane Allman?
Ooh.
Here's Will with SportsCenter.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, what's up? We were talking about name, image, and likeness. And it was very interesting to see just how many athletes from other sports other than football and basketball could be monetized. It's a big business, and the world has changed, and the NCAA hasn't, and they're going to have to. Text 503-250-1080. When Clarence Thomas thinks your business model is shady, you know it doesn't look good. That's coming off of the Supreme Court yesterday, where he usually sits those hearings out and just kind of takes everything in, listens, formulates his opinion, doesn't ask. He was asking some questions yesterday. We talked about that. And that's a big one. That is a huge one with the Supreme Court hearing this case and what is going to happen to the NCAA, because as you mentioned, like, it's a it could come back and it could bite them because they have been so inactive on it.
Right. It absolutely will is the thing. I don't think there's any doubt that the NCAA, we had a lot of texters pointing out that at this point, the NCAA realizes they're so out of control that they might as well just wait and just keep digging their heels in because they can't get any worse than where they are now. And to an extent, that's true because now you have the Supreme Court, you have states, everyone is moving past you and you have no say in what's going to happen. So you should just get out the way.
This text says, I went to PSU, our senior project had us working on at an economics firm. We were paid for our work for this firm through the school who was paid by the firm. Following. But we had a student athlete on our team who could not be paid because of the NCAA. And there was no better example of that than how messed up this is. So you're doing a school project working in real life work scenario where as a college student, you could get money. And he's like, yeah, sorry, I can't.
I would just tell the teacher, I'm not doing it. And you got to grade me right now.
That's what you would have said, huh, Will?
Yeah. If I had an A in that class and that was the final, yeah, I'd go, well, if I'm not getting paid for it, then I'm not doing it. This is stupid. Give me my grade.
Yep.
I'm out.
Anthony, great point. NCAA loses control if you empower athletes. This is all about control and keeping hundreds of millions in their pockets, for sure. I mean, that's what it's always been about. They don't want to share money and realize that, hey, these companies can cut the middleman out, right? They can cut the middleman out. Like Dr. Pepper doesn't have to sponsor the college football playoff to get a piece of, you know, Devontae Smith or Trevor Lawrence. They can just go straight to Trevor Lawrence and Devontae Smith.
And there's a lot of people who I think it's important to say, too, there's a lot of ways that businesses are already popping up to help facilitate and navigate this with the student athletes. You have a company like Open Doors who works with athletes directly to say, oh, here's how you can monetize your following. Here's your area. Here's businesses who may be interested. And they've already partnered with several universities, including Clemson, I believe.
Yep.
And so there are resources out there. It's not like these athletes are just going to be thrown out there having to deal with going to practice, trying to do school, and doing all these endorsement things. There's people who want to help these athletes make this transition better than transition lenses.
Oh, boom! Will, in your face, darkens. Retort.
What?
None. that is true. And look, one other problem here that the NCAA is going to have is even if the Supreme Court goes in favor of the NCAA, that doesn't change what the states are doing on an individual basis.
Nope.
Or what the NAIA has already done, which is, yeah, go ahead.
Yep.
Whatever.
And Chloe said that it was a really easy process. The Aquinas College student who's already making money, she said the NAIA made it a very simple process. She puts it through the school okays it. You know, they already have a system in place that doesn't sound like it's all that cumbersome.
No, but they don't need to worry about like capping it and how much, you know, because like, look. It's not, you know, being a former NAIA athlete here, nobody's knocking down your door to get in your pocket there because of your athletic abilities.
For her woodworking and DIY skills.
You're damn right. And that's something that should be uncapped.
Yep.
See, that's what I was saying. I thought Dusty should have made a YouTube channel while he was there about.
Dude, YouTube like didn't even exist.
Ankle tattoos.
That's you what could I'm
talking
have been,
about. You could have had. You could have just could have cornered jumped the market. Bro. Yeah, you could have cornered the market.
You could have changed the way people view them.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I couldn't have done that.
You could have tried.
It's like you get multiple ankle tattoos, and it's just like nowhere else.
Yeah.
They're just little tiny tattoos.
Yeah, that's right. Micros. It's like microdosing, except for tattoos on your body. Should the Ducks be worried about losing Dana Altman? Next on The Fan. Oh, Roy Williams retired today. 33 years in coaching hoops. North Carolina's head man stepping away. It was a great run, Roy.
It really was.
Yeah, it was. Three national championships is pretty good. He was at, you talk about a guy who's not a guy who jumped jobs very often. 1988 to 2003, he was at Kansas and then loses in the national championship game to Jim Boeheim, Carmelo Anthony, and Syracuse and takes, his dream job, the North Carolina job, and is there from 2003 to 2021. What a run.
Great run.
But now everybody's saying, hey, where are the Tar Heels going to look for their next coach?
You got 2 hours, Roy. On to the next.
On to the next one. And by the way, Roy Williams, a hell of a nice guy. When he came for PKAD.
So nice. Yes.
Taking pictures with kids, you know, yucking it up with the fans. Like, he was awesome to see him just kind of interact with people at PK80. But is Dana Altman a legitimate target for North Carolina? That's what people around here kind of go to and think, because, well, I don't know, Final Four, Elite Eight, Sweet 16s, like, that's kind of what Dana Altman's been doing here at Oregon. Is North Carolina a threat?
Do you want me to answer that question? No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think so either. Dana Altman, really good coach.
Very good coach.
Yeah.
But I think the Northwest school that should be more concerned, if there is a program that should be more concerned outside of North Carolina, is Gonzaga.
Yes, with Mark Few, who's right. Got his program humming and yeah. Looking at another Final Four. And, like, there's a few reasons why I look at Dana Altman. I go, no. One is because he is 62 years old. Roy's 70.
Mm-hmm.
That is a factor here because, I mean, North Carolina wants their guys for the long haul, right? The other one is that, like, we think he's a great coach here at Oregon. But in the grand scheme of things, there are other targets that are bigger names and sexier names, Mark Few being one of them, who's younger than Dana Altman.
And who are more closely tied to North Carolina.
Yes.
I think that's really important with this UNC program. Their past three coaches have either played or served as an assistant coach.
And that is, Mark Few has zero ties there,
no.
By the way, and has given no inkling that he would leave Gonzaga.
No.
But North Carolina is a different animal. Like, it is a different beast altogether in the world of college basketball.
And it's a different beast in terms of, like, the world of sport. It is one of the few teams that you consider an institution. Like, there are just institutions out there. One that I can think of in particular that they're going through this right now, and this is kind of jumping the ship over to the NBA, but it's the Celtics and Brad Stevens. And apparently Brad Stevens really wasn't up to task. I know that they've been better and he kind of dug them out of a hole that they were in and mm-hmm. You know, they drafted some pretty good players, but now it's starting to kind of show that, you know, Brad Stevens has a ceiling. And that ceiling doesn't really meet the expectation that the Boston Celtics have. And so if you want to go that over to Mark Few, I think Mark Few would be a great coach just as in being a coach. But unfortunately, when you get a job somewhere like North Carolina, like Texas in football, like USC in football at this point, there's a whole institutional expectation that goes along with it. And as a coach, you have to kind of sit down for a second and ask yourself, okay, I know I can do the X's and O's, but can I do the other crap that comes along with North Carolina?
Interestingly enough, USA Today has Brad Stevens listed as an eighth possibility.
See, that's an interesting one. And I don't know. He turned down
Indiana.
It's
a great recruiter.
Well, he turned down Indiana, which was, you know, in his home state and all that. But North Carolina, again, a different animal than even Indiana is. But you go back even, you go further down the line in that, I don't know if he's going to be out there. Could the guy that replaced Brad Stevens at Butler, who kept that thing humming and now is at Ohio State, Chris Holtmann, could he be a guy, though, that North Carolina goes out and looks at? He took over Ohio State, and he went from Butler to Ohio State. They were the 2 seed this year, and he's a really good coach. You've got guys like Scott Drew at Baylor. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, they may be in the Final Four right now, but if North Carolina knocks on your door, Scott Drew, he could be gone. I've seen Porter Mosier, the Loyola Chicago coach, be mentioned. I don't think that he's a big enough name for them, but Eric Musselman, who's at Arkansas, his name has been bandied about. Like, these are all bigger names that, you know, coming back to how it pertains to locally, like, those are all names that are bigger names right now than what Dana Altman is on a national stage. Dana Altman is a phenomenal coach. He is an outstanding coach. And we saw how much praise he and the rest of the coaches in the conference were getting during the NCAA tournament run. But North Carolina is this animal that the East Coast bias is real, and it's all just cute little programs out here.
and is the family. North Carolina, yeah. I would be surprised if they hire somebody who doesn't have some connection to North Carolina. Now, you want to talk about a big, splashy name. What about Kenny Smith?
The Jet.
The Jet. That's on one of these lists. Before. Never coached a game, but obviously one of the biggest brands of North Carolina basketball in his role at Inside the NBA. If you're going to go with some, like, that's the, when you think of splash, yeah. that's the splash you're going to make. If you're going to go away from hiring a longtime assistant or somebody who is a coach somewhere but has ties to North Carolina.
Do you know the last time they hired outside of their program was?
Three coaches ago.
No.
Four coaches ago.
No. But what year it was?
Oh.
It was 1952.
Whoa. See?
It was Frank McGuire. Frank McGuire in 1952 came from St. John's to take over the North Carolina program. From there, they hired Dean Smith, who was an assistant under Frank McGuire. And then after Dean Smith, they had, you know, Bill Guthridge, who was an assistant under Dean Smith, Matt Doherty, who was a player at North Carolina, and then Roy Williams, who was a player at North Carolina. The last time that they went outside of their program was 1952.
So I don't think they're going outside the program.
You talk about like the Michigan and bringing in a Michigan man where things have gone wrong. Like North Carolina hasn't gone down that road, but the thing about that though that's maybe troublesome is that there's not a whole lot of coaches that have a great pedigree like a Roy Williams that are coming from that North Carolina coaching tree anymore.
No,
because I mean they hired Roy Williams because he was at Kansas right. before that, right?
But you have coaches who are on the staff.
Sure. Yeah,
I think, too, in college sports, there's a lot more stock that's put into coaches that can recruit really well. And I think that, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, North Carolina is hurting for recruits here or anything. But, you know, you lose enough. You have enough seasons where you're disappointing. You have enough seasons where you're losing to Duke. You have enough seasons where you're barely making the tournament. And then that starts to become a question. And so for North Carolina, I don't know if it's so much about finding somebody within your own program other than just trying to find somebody to really put a jolt in that program, somebody to really like put some excitement in it. Because as great as Roy Williams was, he was a 70-year-old. I don't know. I don't know being an 18-year-old sitting across from a geriatric how pumped up I'm going to be.
I don't know, man,
but
it's Roy Williams. He's an institution, and he is a guy guy, when he walked into a room, it's one of those presences that you just felt, right?
But I do think there's something to be said about going the opposite direction. Is you don't really want to compete with another institute. Like, I wonder if you go from an institution in Roy Williams to sort of a shiny new object.
You don't
like,
want to be the guy who follows John Wooden, right?
Right. And so I think instead of going with the super established, you know, maybe that's why you don't go within the assistant coaching ranks, because that's not all that. It's like almost too similar. If you want to make a move to do something crazy, then you go after a Kenny Smith. You go for a splashy big name,
Vince
big
Carter.
Alumni.
Rasheed. Oh.
Now you got it.
Yes.
You want to talk about a guy who's on with name, image, and likeness, CTC, cut that check.
Dude, yes. Could you imagine Rasheed would get thrown out of so many games?
It'd be fantastic.
So many games.
It'd be very fun.
But this is where North Carolina is, and that's why I don't think anybody on the West Coast, whether you're Gonzaga, Oregon, Oregon State. Wait, Will brought up North Carolina knocking on Wayne Tinkle's door just last week. You want to play the audio of that? I don't think that one's going to happen either.
Yeah, I don't think that happened.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think that happened
at
all.
I'm pretty sure it did.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
you can find it on the Les Schwab Tires podcast.
1080thefan.com and the Odyssey app. Will.
Hey, you pronounced it right.
The audacity of you, Will Darkins. My goodness.
Oh, dear.
The one thing that with North Carolina, know somebody who knows. This is why they want to stay within the family. Hire somebody who knows who you are. Mm-hmm. Even if you're like, everybody knows North Carolina. No. Only people that have been in that program truly know North Carolina. That is why there's such a strong belief they'll go and even get a Jet or a Stackhouse who's at Vanderbilt right now. Get a guy who gets it.
Yep.
understand where it's been. Is the Blazers defense improving? AJ and Dusty on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.